Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a Realtor can help answer. Because Realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home. They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what Realtors do, because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Roto-Roll Football Show. I am Patrick Daugherty, joined Thursday, May 9th by Denny Carter and Kyle Dvorak, where we are going to talk about...
Yeah, there's nothing to talk about.
There's not a lot.
Nothing to talk about.
I will say.
We've got 30 minutes of NBA MVP talk lined up, 22 on Hideki Matsuyama withdrawing.
I did think 29 minutes on the rugby player for the Chiefs was a little much.
But. I absolutely love when analytics says that the guy looks like maybe the second best player in a series and maybe the third best player in the Western Conference playoffs has to win his third MVP. You just absolutely love to see it. Jokic is amazing. It's just annoying. I wanted someone else to win. I wanted SGA to win.
He's good. He's good. But
Denny, think he's good? Don't.
He's good. They are running layup lines on him.
I'm sorry, but okay. Look, I'm all about analytics. Everybody knows this, okay?
Yeah, because he's an analytics darling.
Right.
In the regular season, which is when the voting occurs.
So. And there's a certain bloodlessness to analytics. That is perfectly defined in Jokic. First of all, he doesn't care.
No, doesn't care whatsoever. I mean, he literally complained about having to go to the parade last year.
Right. So he wins championships. He wins MVPs. Doesn't care about any of it. He's not excitable. He's 6'11", can't dunk, can't even touch the rim. Nothing about him is otherworldly, superhero-like. He is the antithesis of the 90s. NBA superstar, and I couldn't be more bored with him. He's the most boring player I've ever seen.
He makes spreadsheets go burr, though.
Yeah, right. So. And that's the future of sports. Just a bunch of boring athletes winning MVPs.
Jokic is never going to win a championship, though.
Well, he did. He didn't care. He said, I don't care.
He said he needed to be with his horses. Oh, yeah, he's pretty good, though. We're going to talk a little more NBA, but on the show, we're going to talk about zero RB backfields because it has been a slow news week. Allen Robinson signed with the Giants. Ooh. But we're going to look on where you might get some backfield value. That includes in Houston and Vegas and Chicago and New Orleans and Washington, D.C., Green Bay, Wisconsin. We're also going to check in, I think today for real, on some under-the-radar tight ends Denny's been wanting to talk about for a few shows, but we keep not doing. So that's the football reaction I'm about. Denny, hey, you said you had a rant queued up about NBA officiating.
I mean, look.
You think they need to be calling more fouls on Jokic?
As a child of the 90s who watched a lot of Pacers Knicks back in the day, when they were, body slamming each other.
So they committed crimes to each other pretty often, right? I know I've only seen the cut-ups. I didn't grow up with it really, but every cut-up is like, look at these dudes pulling out shivs in the first half.
Yeah. I mean, they were clearly trying to inflict damage to each other's bodies. Now, I watched the other night, and I'm watching Pacers Knicks, and the game is decided on a flop during a pick play up about five feet above the 3-point line, and that was the game. That was the ball game. The flopping. They got to start ejecting people for flopping, no warning. Like you don't get a warning. You flop, you're out, and you miss the next game. They have to just stop the flopping.
It's so funny because I think a lot of the the NBA's gone soft stuff is very boomer, and these guys are truly incredible athletes, even compared to the 80s and 90s guys. And literally everyone agrees they should be getting fined, ejected, suspended for flopping, not just in the NBA, but especially in the past few years of the NBA, but in every sport. I'm looking at you, soccer. Everyone from a 4-year-old to a 9-year-old is like,
yeah,
we can meet in the middle ground. I'm like, Jesus, God, the flopping is like... It's brutally bad.
Well, not that the fly. I thought they were supposed to get rid of the Harden play, and now Jalen Brunson does it like every single play.
Oh,
he's not technically initiating the contact, mm-hmm. I guess. But it's like, man, I mean, he's Harden.
Brunson's like, a dog, obviously.
He is a dog, unlike Harden. Brunson actually. But is
my
a dog.
God, I mean, that's like his only move is to get into the paint and jump into somebody, jump backwards into somebody. Is that seriously? That's like, you know what that is? I swear to God, that's analytics.
It is analytics.
Yeah, it's I'd say
destroying
so.
Everything we love about sports. My St. Louis Cardinals have bad analytics, so now we can't do anything.
They should try to get better.
The Cardinals used to be at the forefront of analytics. I loved analytics then when we were the only smart team. now that every other team is smart, it's a huge bummer, man. It's like such a bummer. Paul Goldschmidt can't get a hit because we have bad analytics now, and everything knows exactly where to locate every single pitch to him, and he just has Pat, no answer.
Pat, this is a real the sowing was fun, the reaping.
Ooh. Yeah, no, tell me about it. Yeah, not loving that other teams now have analytics. Not loving that Allen Robinson's on the Giants. Excuse me, I'm also not hating it. I just don't care about it at all. I just wanted to put that out there that he was now he's on the Giants. He's averaged 343 yards the past 3 years. Anything to say on this?
No. I mean, he is the prototypical big possession receiver who never created separation. He won somehow in scrums, basically. And that doesn't last. It just doesn't last. So, no. I mean, he is the most cooked receiver in the NFL.
How does he keep getting contracts is what I don't understand. Like, who keeps signing him? Like, what's this supposed to be about?
He was good in 2018.
He was another. He was an analytics darling too, in a good way, when he first came in the
league.
Yes,
he was.
Yeah, yeah, and he was a hit, right? And he honestly, like, as far as these big dudes who seem to like fly very high and then collapse pretty quickly, I want to say like into his seventh year, he was like a 1,200 yard receiver, and then the bottom didn't start falling out; it just disappeared one day. But like, he's gonna have like a decade long career plus, I believe. Like entering year 10 or just completed year 10. That's a really good win for the analytics, but like, we should have stopped.
I realized the problem with analytics. Analytics are amazing when there's like two teams in each league that did it. Like, oh, those pesky Oakland A's.
Yeah,
yeah. Those Warriors, all the Warriors do is shoot threes. Those Patriots, all the short passing. I wish someone else would do that. And no, actually, I didn't wish that at all, because now everyone does it.
This and is not what I wanted.
It's unwatchable.
I didn't want Patrick Mahomes to have a lower A dot than Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, all these teams are just gunning for explosive plays. And oh, and all the defenses refuse to allow anything beyond 8 yards. Like, and there it is. It's gone.
Can we just remove math from society?
would sports be better without math? Football, I like a lot of passing. Personally, I do like a lot of passing. Yeah. Basketball, 100%.
Yeah.
Basketball, 100%.
Basketball, you gotta start taking ill-advised mid-range jumpers again. I've been informed that some guys actually are doing this, and I've been witnessing it a lot in the play. It seems like they are shooting twos again because they realize not every team can actually shoot. PJ Tucker doesn't need to be shooting 9 threes a game. Like, I'm sorry.
Oh, that was actually the low point of it.
That I think the PJ Tucker corner three bonanza was the low point.
That was I read about that and got sad.
Yeah.
Baseball, better or worse for analytics? Because I believe right now, like for a while, like the Moneyball stuff's like, oh, he gets on base or whatever. But right now, it's just bash it as far as you can because home runs are valuable or something, right?
Well, it is. It's the three true outcomes. It's homering, yep, walking, or striking out, like being willing to strike out in the name, okay, of power. But so this year, offense is like catastrophically down yet again. Ooh. It's like really, really dropped.
Is it a juice ball thing?
No one quite knows what's going on. I just think the pitching has taken the pitchers are so well prepared. I mean, the hitters are
the ones that are still alive. Sure.
Yeah. Except, but like the pitchers just seem like they're too, like they just know your tendencies too well now.
Okay.
And like, they're basically, they're throwing way fewer fastballs,
yeah,
which, you know, fastballs is what make the homer machine go burr. And cause you know, they realize if we throw fastballs, they're going to hit more home runs. So they're throwing nothing but off-speed stuff and breaking stuff. And it's been no one is hitting. Fantasy baseball is absolutely brutal this year. Like, you can win a head-to-head matchup with like 5 home runs every week.
Wow.
And really? That used to be like a Tuesday.
Wow. Yeah,
so
definitely is killing baseball. Honestly, I couldn't tell you squad about analytics in hockey. And
it's killing like baseball. It's in hockey. It's killing, but baseball has been by far the most proactive sport, and like trying to like dial some of it back with it's like teams can't unlearn what makes perfect sense. Of course,
I mean, that's
so of course everyone's doing it, but so you have to basically change the rules, and MLB's trying to figure out what rules to still change.
Once the genie's out of the bottle, you can't pretend the genie's not there. Like with basketball, like dunks and threes, like we know that maximizes points. So
SGA shoots twos, and Anthony Edwards even shoots twos. Anthony Edwards shot a 2 once and got compared to Michael Jordan immediately. He did a fadeaway from kind of like the inside key, and it was instantly compared to Michael Jordan.
Yeah, that's
all you need to do now. Shoot one fadeaway 2, and you are MJ now.
We haven't seen a fadeaway 2 since Kobe.
And Kobe, you know, a career 32.1% shooter on fadeaway 2s. Probably didn't need to attempt 17,000 of them during his career.
I will say that the Zoomers will never know how cool it was for Jordan to come back to the NBA with this new shot, with this like fadeaway jumper. He didn't have that. He didn't do that beforehand. But you know, he had aged. You know, trying to get some more tools in the toolbox. And man, that fadeaway. Let me tell you, my middle school team, all we ever tried to do was fadeaway. Oh, We never made one. But it looked cool.
Never made one. You know who never made one touchdown last year was Damian Pierce.
Oh, yeah, he had a kick return touchdown, I think.
He did. Our guy was real bad. So that's why the Texans went out and got Joe Mixon. But we think the Texans are going to be a backfield that produces zero RB value in 2024. Denny, who proposed this team? Was it Denny or Kyle? Who should I give the lead?
It was Kyle.
So Kyle, why was it me? I don't think it was me.
I mean, we all literally were like just firing names on top of each other in the group chat.
We think the Texans are going to be a good zero RB backfield? Is it just because, pretty simple, Joe Mixon is looking a little more done every year? But I mean, when the alternative is Damian Pierce, is it really that good of a zero RB backfield? And are the Texans a zero RB backfield to the point where like take the guy with the lowest ADP? Or is that not possible? Because as long as Joe Mixon stays healthy, he's going to monopolize touches, Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, I do think Joe Mixon, they trade for him. The trade compensation wasn't that much. And they pay him a lot of money. We talked about this throughout the offseason. They don't seem to quite take their wins to the bank. They actually take money out of the bank when they make their wins. But Joe Mixon probably consolidating a lot of work. That's kind of his MO throughout his career. Doesn't always play passing downs, but then he'll get a lot of receiving work even on his early downs. He's a work consolidator, and he's good enough on his work that he can grab it all up. But man, I do think, like you said, Pat, this can't last forever. And that's without considering the fact that if there's an injury, there could be another work consolidator step up right now. My assumption is that's Damian Pierce. I do think Pierce is a decent candidate to be traded, but if he's not, he's probably the locked in RB2. We saw 2 years ago on what was a far worse offense than they were last year. He was a really good tackle breaker, not extremely explosive, and that kind of caught up to him last year. But I do think if you're looking at the version of this offense we're getting this year, where they're spreading teams out, gunning them down with a 3-wide that is probably the best in the league, it's going to make it really easy for him to pick up chunk gains, which he struggled with last year. And if they do end up trading him, or just like, he could honestly just be a healthy scratch at this point, given how scared they were, just how disinterested they were in using him. They did take, I believe, in the 6th round, Jawar Jordan, the guy who actually got
more
carries.
I was going to say, do we need to get even sicker and say Jawar Jordan?
Yeah, we did.
I was teeing up the, it could be Damian Pierce. I want it to be Jawar Jordan, Louisville running back, who was the lead back in the Louisville backfield, which was produced the 4th right round pick, Isaac Arendo, coming off of an elite combine, but like truly was a backup, worse in most facets.
It wasn't good, will be a huge bust. Yeah.
It was extremely efficient. Quite easy to do that when you're just the RB2, when you're a hyper athlete RB2. And that makes me interested in the guy your team chose to play over you, Jawar Jordan. So they draft. I didn't think he was going to be drafted. They end up drafting in the 6th round. You look into his numbers. His numbers are really strong among Power 5 backs. He was 11th in PFF run grade, top 10 in breakaway yards, and was 21st in attempts. He also returns kicks, so he could take that aspect of Damian Pierce's job as well. It's not a bad pass catcher. There's a lot of potential. If Joe Mixon goes down, They're out on Dameon Pierce. Maybe he's not even on the roster. It's like Dari Ogunbowale after this. This is a backfield where there's a dusty veteran up top. If he gets hurt or if he's just bad, I really want the backups. And the backups are dirt cheap in best ball and dynasty. So it feels like a great place to take shots, even if, yeah, I don't know for sure it's Pierce. I don't know for sure it's Jordan.
I mean, Denny, Joe Mixon's the RB15, I believe, right now, an underdog. Is that like a, for a true zero RB zealot like yourself, is that just like immediate stay away territory?
Or he would have to, yeah, he'd have to drop below that. What round would that be? Do you have that in front of you? Like fourth round?
With the way they're drafting running backs, that's round 20, actually.
Round 20. Yeah, somehow round 5.
Round 5.
The fifth round right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, if he stays in the fifth round and I can start my drafts with like 3 receivers and an elite tight end or something, I might be interested in a little mix in just because of the pass catching. You know, I mean, he's going to be involved in that, in the passing offense. Hopefully we have PFF Bobby really unleash the passing game, but who knows? I'm most interested in Juwan Jordan because Dameon Pierce, wow. I mean, they really, the thing is you have to have some context here. The Texans desperately wanted Dameon Pierce to be good, and they gave him a lot of chances to be good. And he was miserable per the metrics. Okay. Like bottom tier. So Juwan Jordan, 1,128 yards rushing last year, 13 touchdowns, 250 yards receiving at Louisville. Like I feel like the production profile is kind of there for a guy who could step in if Mixon misses time. By the way, I actually don't think Mixon would ever be benched here in this situation. I think that he would actually need to miss time with an injury.
I mean, Joe Mixon is the RB15 or Kenneth Walker is the RB16. What do you guys say?
I'm going to go with the unsexy answer of Mixon.
I wanted him to say it first because I think that's probably right.
It's like, clearly right.
I think Mixon consolidates all the work for as long as he's healthy.
Yes,
but like, and that's good. I think Mixon's a perfectly fine pick at RB15, actually, because it doesn't have to be that good. This offense is going to go burr. He's going to score touchdowns. They're going to throw to him. But if he goes down, like, this is definitely the contingent backfield type of situation, not one where it's like, oh, just draft the cheaper guy and maybe you acquire all the work. Like Tennessee kind of falls into that. I kind of just want to take the cheaper one. I know where the touches are going here, but there's a ton of contingent upside. And fingers crossed, I hope we see Juwan Jordan get a crack at being the RB2.
Real quick, Joe Mixon is the RB15 in the fifth round, or Aaron Jones as the RB18 and around like the seventh round. Which value do you like better?
The thing is, Aaron Jones is definitely
Mixon. It's Mixon.
I still think it's Mixon, though. Yeah,
I guess.
Jones. That's not even. He's gonna be a mega bust in the Vikings. Like it's a horrible fit.
I am scared of the constant soft tissue issues.
I guess he has to catch 70 passes. I feel like. He has to catch 70 passes, I think, to really be worth
it. I'll take that. I mean, if we can sign up
for I would do that. I'm not really sure what point improving there. But Houston Texans, a zero RB backfield, in our opinion, as are the Las Vegas Football Raiders, who have Zamir White, they have Alexander Mattison, they have sixth-round rookie Dylan Lobb. Who proposed the Raiders? I think this was me. But is this? I mean,
which one you sick freaks did this to me?
It's a true zero RB backfield in that sitting here on May 9th, it's kind of impossible to say who like the season touch leader is going to be. Zamir White is definitely the favorite, especially because Lobb's a day 3 rookie, might not even make the team. Alexander Mattison has never been good, but I mean, has Zamir White ever actually been good? And so, Denny, do you consider the Vegas backfield the classic backfield, like take the lowest ADP you can find and just let other people pay for Raiders running backs, or is that not actually the case?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the Zamir White hype.
He's RB21 right now, an underdog, Zamir White.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, we're all going to regret this at some point. I mean, let's just be real. You know, in a dysfunctional offense on a team that is guaranteed to be bad, I'm not super interested in any of these guys. Mattison, certainly not, even though we saw him at the Super Bowl, large man. Very, I can't imagine. I actually can't imagine trying to tackle him. So I don't,
stunningly.
I don't understand how he's not Derrick Henry, but I guess we'll move on.
He's the RB 67, by the way, Mattison.
Oh man. I just don't, I don't think that I can do that.
Sounds like a Danny Carter pick. RB 67. Zamir White, who, I mean, what, he has, what, like maybe 200 career touches, if that.
I guess, you know, here's okay. I can paint the picture of Madison as just a PPR scam. And maybe that gets him there.
If you want the PPR scam, take Laube. Like, he's probably a functional pass catcher. He was dreadful between tackles last year. Laube's whole shtick is that he's probably one of the better pass catching running backs, pure pass catchers, to come out of the draft in recent years. The problem is that he did it at small school, and he wasn't really, I wouldn't even say he was good, frankly, in the rushing metrics at an FCS school. I don't think he'll be a between the tackles runner in the NFL, but like, he could be Danny Woodhead. He could be James White. I mean, that's kind of the career trajectory for him. I think he came up just shy of 700 yards on like 70 catches last year as a true running back. He was top five in yards per route run among both FBS and FCS running backs, number top five in PFF receiving grade. I don't say it's the only thing you draft him for, but you look at him as a project between the tackles, both in that he's just making a giant leap in competition and physicality, and that his numbers really weren't that good in college in terms of the advanced numbers between the tackles.
Even his raw numbers weren't good. This is a guy, you know, was an FCS where you kind of need to totally dominate to really be a real prospect. And he did not. He never even averaged more than 5 yards per carry one time in five seasons.
I think he's a pure pass catching out of the backfield kind of guy. But I believe, Denny, you even made this point last time we talked about the Raiders. Could have been a week ago, could have been 2 months ago. They were actually pretty aggressive, I believe, when they were down, right? When they were losing. This looks like a team's going to be doing some losing. So I could actually see lots of checkdowns in this team's future. And I think that guy's Laube.
I'm sold. Yeah, that was a good pitch, Kyle, and I'm sold. Yeah, I do want whichever running back is going to be catching passes, and I don't think it's going to be Zamir White even when he is the lead back. So yeah, I think that's where you hunt for the value here in the Vegas backfield.
Dylan Laube so good in college that he doesn't even have a sports reference.
No, they don't do sports reference pages for SCF players.
For FCS.
Oh, no. Got to go to his team page or ESPN, I think.
ESPN does have it, but yeah, you have to go to the New Hampshire team page if you want to access the good stuff known as
not even one of the like the Northwestern the continental U.S. Northwestern schools. You go to South Dakota State, like that's a MAC school, man. North Dakota State, these are like Mountain West MAC schools that just get to beat up on the FCS every year. New Hampshire is not in that cohort of teams.
And they are not. Producer Adam says we're getting sick with some of these rookies, but that's what happens in ZRB. Like these guys are gonna be like household fantasy names by mid-August. Yeah. Even if they end up not playing, like everyone's going to know who Dylan Laube is on like August 15th. Because like everyone, because since values don't exist anymore, like sleepers don't exist anymore in fantasy.
You have to reach.
You have to get so sick. Jordan level sick.
Jordan.
That's the only way it's going to happen. Chicago Bears, not quite to that level, but it's DeAndre Swift, who they paid a lot of money in free agency. Khalil Herbert, where people just will not give up the ghost. Rashawn Johnson, who also seems like he might become a dead-end hero. It kind of boils down to what your feelings are on DeAndre Swift. Do you really think the Bears, who should be one of the league's most ascendant offenses this year, can really make DeAndre Swift like an every week RB2? Or is he just a full fade Denny Carter and you try to find who's cheaper between Khalil Herbert and Roshan Johnson?
I think he could be interesting if he serves as like a real lead back.
I was going to say, cut to 2021. I think he'd be real interesting if the Lions give him the work. You give him all the work. It ain't happening.
No. Listen, I'm with you. So, I mean, I think that's unlikely. So I'm probably not interested. But I mean, the Bears actually were a strong, you know, like running environment last year. They were near the top of the league in yards before contact per carry. With a bunch of, you know, kind of mediocre guys running the ball. So I do think that, you know, they have a pretty good run blocking line. I think the firepower that they added at receiver this offseason should maybe take the defense a little bit off of just pressing the line, waiting for the running play on second and 12 or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I think that we should pay attention to this backfield because this offense in general is way, way more appealing than, say, I don't know, the Raiders.
RB22, I must say, seems a little low for DeAndre Swift because I just think it's going to be such a more explosive offense, Kyle. I mean, who's going to be, is anyone going to be the goal line back over DeAndre Swift? Like, I feel like he's got to be the goal line back, right?
I mean, I feel like he's famous for not taking what is blocked and shooting for home runs. And that shows up in the stats too. His success rate is always extremely low. If I'm a coach, I'm not putting that guy in the goal line. Like, I want someone who takes the 1 yard, the specific 1 yard we designed on this play. And obviously in that case, it scores a touchdown. I wouldn't lock him into the goal line role. To me, last year, his numbers all plummeted on this Eagles team. For the first time, we saw him get like the best role of his career, finished outside the top 30 running backs in rush yards over expected per attempt success rate, PFF run grade, yards after contact. He, like, once you expand his role, you see why teams didn't do that in the past. And on the other hand, Khalil Herbert has been really efficient throughout his career. He's top 20, I believe, in all those metrics last year.
I agree with everything you're saying, but they paid him. They gave him so much money.
Yep.
Like, they don't believe in these other guys, and they clearly do believe in DeAndre Swift. So I just have a hard time believing it'll be Khalil Herbert as the goal line back, despite all the very, like, the Eagles are like, never mind, just give it to the quarterback every time.
Yeah.
Like, this guy is not going to do it.
Lions were like, give it to Jamal Williams. Like,
I know. Deal. But it
and
seems
he was
like
dead by next year.
Do it though. It's
no, I mean, he could. Like, he could go out and get the goal line work. He could be, I mean, he should be really explosive. I think last year didn't even look awfully explosive. I don't think that's probably truly who he is. I think he really is an explosive back. But, like, he's not, I don't think he's going to be the pass catching back. If there's anything you're paying Roshan Johnson to do, it's that. I think his career future is essentially like Samaje Perine, sturdy pass blocker, like thick pass blocking, stand up blitzers, catch the dump offs, track well with the quarterback when he's pressured. I don't know if he's much of a runner. So I don't think he's the primary third down back. I am skeptical that he's goal line back. I think we could be in line for another between the 20s DeAndre Swift season. But, like, you're right. They totally paid him to, like, workhorse adjacent level money, like top 10, top 15 money. Yes. I'm kind of just, I know, IK being, I know better. I don't think they'll stick with the plan.
I know. Look, fantasy managers know better than teams, obviously, and we've proven that many times. Here's something that Swift will have going for him that he didn't have going for him in Philadelphia. He will not be charged with pushing Jalen Hurts' butt into the end zone. You know, so that, and instead he might actually get the ball and be able to put his own butt into the end zone. That would be good.
That would be really, really nice. Khalil Herbert's RB 56, Roshan Johnson's RB 57. Is it just drawing straws? Is it total shot in the dark? Or do you actually prefer one of these guys, Denny?
I like Herbert. I mean, I
again,
I know
this year, folks.
Yeah,
I mean, I do too. I mean, I just made the case for him. I do too.
But it might work for us.
He's efficient, you know, and you know, he's a pretty good pass catcher. I feel like you could do a lot worse just throwing him on your bench or draft him in best ball just in case.
You could probably do better though.
So it's
why don't they like him? I actually don't entirely understand.
They really don't like
him. And
they don't seem to like him.
He's not a really efficient pass catcher, but he's always been a pretty efficient runner. And
really efficient. Yeah. Even the times where I don't feel like he's the type of back where the moment you give him 20 carries, it's over. He does well in those games too, actually. Like we saw with Charbonnet last year. It could just be randomness. But the moment Ken Walker goes down, they give him 18 carries. It's 3.2 yards in a cloud of dust. Just painful stuff. I never got that vibe from Khalil Herbert, that in the moments that they scaled him up briefly, it didn't happen very often. He didn't like completely bomb those outcomes, I don't think.
I mean, 100-yard games pretty much anytime he got a real workload.
Right? I know.
Game.
Yeah.
So Khalil Herbert, Roshan seems not good. I think
he can be a good pass catcher, but I'm kind of decided to the point that he is truly just like a physical pass catching specialist. How much we're going on a tangent, but to be clear, we have so much time and not a lot to talk about. How much do you guys think Samaje Perine weighed when he came into the NFL?
Wait,
you're going to say 185 pounds. Oh, no, he was big. He was
going to shock you in the other direction.
Yeah. Like, I was going to say he was huge.
20?
Way 240,
233. Like, wow. That is a dude who can anchor and pass block when he needs to. And Roshan, wow. Although not quite like, he's taller, I believe, than Samaje. Samaje is like 5'10, 5'11. But like, Roshan probably has the physical profile of a dude who can anchor as a pass blocker, who can help chip and make a difference. And he is legitimately, I believe, at least a good pass catcher. There's a role for that guy in the NFL, I think. I mean, Perine literally played it perfectly last year. But Pat, to your point, like the advanced numbers show it, the eye test shows it, doesn't look like a particularly explosive runner.
They used to have 235-pound running backs at Oklahoma. Then Lincoln Riley came in and said, we're going to be the softest team you've ever seen in your entire life. And we're going to also carry that over to USC.
Just when thought we couldn't be softer, we shocked you again.
I think Pirine set like the single game rushing record at Oklahoma.
Or,
like,
he was so good.
In the NCAA, he said it. And then Melvin Gordon said it like a week later.
Yeah, he was really, really good.
I do think, I know we didn't mean to talk about Pirine this much, but I do think Pirine is probably the favorite to catch all the passes from Bo Nix.
Yeah, you weren't supposed to talk about Pirine on this show.
That's a fun backfield. That's a good zero RB.
Second year in a row. Samaje Perine. And people are wondering why we're talking about the NBA to start the show.
No. I did that 2 years ago with Pirine.
Was that 2 years ago already?
Because he was in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Right? All right, yeah, that checks out. What also checks out is we need to take a short break, and we'll be right back after this. Nelly Korda looks to continue her dominance with a sixth straight LPGA Tour victory this week in the Cognizant Founders Cup. Find out if she comes through in New Jersey by streaming Peacock today through Sunday.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
There are any number of reasons you might consider selling your home. To move closer to family, live within a smaller budget, or just wanting a change of scenery. Whatever your reasons, having to figure out all the various housing market trends in your area may not be what you signed up for. That's where an agent who is a Realtor comes in. Realtors have the expertise to help you find the right price and navigate the process to sell your home in a way that's right for you. That's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Choked again.
Here's something.
Oh, yeah,
about
we heard you choked.
Nelly Korda, not necessarily a long hitter per the metrics. I think it's a lesson to golfers, and especially to you dudes out there. You don't have to bomb it to be good. You can simply hit it in the fairway and give yourself a shot at birdie every time.
Denny, well, I'll do like neither of those, never, but that's good.
Yeah. Denny sounds like someone who's never hit a single 200-yard drive.
Oh,
not even 200, huh? Wow.
I do. My favorite thing is when you'll ask a guy, like, how far do you hit it with the driver? And they'll be like, I don't know, 290, 300. Like, no. I didn't ask you if you've ever hit a ball 290.
Oh, no, my average drive, you know, like 140, probably. I hit the ball clean about once every 6 months.
Right, and it's 65 yards to the right, and it actually kills 11 worms on the way because it's burning along the ground.
It's an environmental hazard. Yeah. Well, you know what else environmental hazards? The Saints backfield, am I right? They were all terrible last year. Alvin Kamara isn't good anymore, but he's currently the RB17. Kendre Miller, the little-used rookie that we were all pretty excited about last year for some reason, currently the RB47. Jamal Williams, currently the RB83. Who wants to get started with some Saints thoughts? Because this is a true zero RB backfield. The Alvin Kamara, kind of like famous last words, Joe Mixon can't keep getting away with it. Alvin Kamara can't keep getting away with his recent production, can he not?
I mean, with Derek Carr being among the most check-downiest quarterbacks in the NFL, I feel like Kamara maybe can keep getting away with the scam. Now, you know, is he going to lose the early down stuff? Maybe, you know, at some point.
He should. That's when he's at his best. I know. Don't force him to run between the tackles.
I know. But, like, do you guys have his ADP in front of you?
Who's Kamara? ADP? Kamara. It's RB17. RB17.
I think that's kind of fair.
What?
No.
He was. I mean, he was still one of the best pass catching backs in the NFL last year. Like,
wow, cool. Wow, the best pass catching back. Yeah, you're catching the most pointless throws I've ever seen in my entire life.
He's catching them.
That's right. I like the pointless.
You're falling into the anti PPR trap. Go run the Ian Harditz clip where these two plays are both worth 1.2 PPR points, and it's the hardest run for 12 yards you've ever seen, and a 2-yard catch where a guy does nothing.
He caught 75 balls and averaged 6.2 yards per catch, which even for a running back is an extraordinarily atrocious number for Alvin Kamara.
Like 75 is a lot. I believe he led the NFL in all of the catching stats per game because he missed, what, 3 games because of suspension?
He only appeared in 13 games and caught 75 balls.
One more. Yeah, I mean, per game, he was...
What a beautifully designed offense. Just an amazingly designed offense.
Oh, it's just a horrible offense.
And who did they bring in? They finally got rid of Pete Carmichael, and they brought in, I believe, Clint Kubiak.
Yeah, they brought in someone who has met Kyle Shanahan.
They brought in a what is known in the business as a son.
By the way, the target distribution for the Saints last year, 23% of the targets went to the running back position. That was fourth highest in the league, trailing only the Broncos, Jets, and Falcons.
So neither one of you, you're not interested in Kendre Miller, RB47, or no. Definitely not interested in Jamal Williams, RB83?
Well, no, to be clear, Jamal Williams would be 183 RB, and I probably still wouldn't be taking. Yeah, I could dabble in some Kendre. I still think among the interesting backups, probably on the lower end, given how little he was used as a rookie. Like, guys who simply do not see the field, especially if they're drafted highly, like, tells you a lot about them. Yeah. He falls into a bucket of guys who we typically don't talk about much anymore. The only reason I can still find myself going to bat for him is Jamal Williams was basically dead last in every advanced metric you can find. He seems to be on his way out. Kendre Miller, still young. He had a rocky offseason in terms of injuries last year. Maybe that's the excuse we're looking for as to why he didn't do anything. It has to be someone as the backup. And if Kamara goes down, that's a lot of work. I would bet on that being Kendre over Jamal. Not to say Kendre actually does a lot when he gets the ball, because he wasn't like great in the advanced numbers on his limited sample last year.
James Robinson also on the Saints. They also signed two undrafted free agents. They did not draft a running back, which is a fairly good sign for Kendre Miller. I guess they could be like thinking they're going to revive James Robinson's career. He is the kind of like gadfly guy who hangs around too. Like, James Robinson, that guy's been cut so many times. Never mind. He's the number two running back for this.
I think he unfortunately skipped that stage in his career. I think he is straight to, we keep cutting this guy, because that's what happened last year.
It is a tough thing for him. I mean, the Achilles, he had a knee and an Achilles, I think.
So it sounds like you don't even think the Saints are a zero RB backfield. Who proposed this one even?
I don't know who proposed it. I think Kendre is fine. Like, I think if you're looking at shots on probably more so just contingent plays, like, it's got to be someone. He's cheap. He's young. He was a good college prospect. Like, and we only saw 40 carries from last year, so we don't have a large sample on him. There's a reason we only saw 40 carries on him last year, to be clear. But, like, it ain't going to be Jamal Williams, I don't think.
No, and they didn't change his status quo. So that's the good sign for Kendre. Despite all the red flags, they have basically kept him in place on the depth chart.
Yep.
So he's a perfectly good running back flyer.
Especially if you're drafting right now. Like, I wanted to propose the Chiefs. I literally do not know who the Chiefs RB2 is, and I want pieces of that offense. Like, if Pacheco goes down, there's a great spot. There's also a great spot to backfill Jerick McKinnon's role. Dude, I have no clue who it's going to be. It could be the rugby guy. It could be LaMichael Pirine. It could be Keontae Ingram. Like,
no, it's Lewis Reese Zamet.
No, it's going to be CEH. It's going to be CEH.
Oh, yeah, it could be CEH, exactly, but he's dreadful. So I think that's one where I want to wait till training camp, till they tell us, oh, man, like, the rugby guy's running with the ones. They're like, oh, CEH, he knows the system. He's the RB2. But, like, I don't know there. And if you're drafting right now, I can't pick a guy out of that backfield. I'm placing my chips on Kendre over Jamal sort of confidently as of May, whatever, 9th.
The Chiefs, real quick. The underdog gang, our friends, they're going to be tweeting about Denarik Prince again, aren't they? By like July. He's going to have he's on the roster, so he's going to have one or two good plays, like in mandatory minicamp, and people will be tweeting about him again.
I want to be tweeting about Carson Steele, the UCLA running back who went undrafted and they signed. I mean, UDFA, long shot to crack the roster, but he's not a terrible prospect.
You never know.
Carson Thanks, Steele. Benny. Thanks for that little pick me
you
up.
You never know. Carson Steele here. Wow. Moving on.
Watch the rugby guy. I'm just telling you.
Actually, I will never watch the Washington Commanders. That's not really something I do for religious reasons. But Austin Eckler, RB 33. Brian Robinson, RB 34. is this a textbook zero RB backfield? Are those ADPs too high for this to be a zero RB backfield, Denny? Is that not enough of a value on either of these guys?
I think that that's palatable. So my issue here, I was thinking about the Washington backfield while I shaved today, actually. And for some reason, Jaden Daniels being the quarterback is not good news for these guys. And that's because Jaden Daniels is a great runner and very fast. And he is not going to be checking down to Austin Ekeler ever.
No.
And he's not going to be handing the ball to Brian Robinson almost ever. The one saving grace for Brian Robinson is if this Commander's offense is good, is at least, you know, high scoring, then he could take on like a Gus Edwards type role near the goal inside the 10-yard line where teams are just panicked about stopping Jaden Daniels and just let Brian Robinson skip into the end zone twice a game. You know, so I think that there is some touchdown, upside there for him. But as far as like pure opportunity, neither of these guys, I don't think, are going to see it.
I didn't mention Chris Rodriguez. Currently the RB93 is he not a thing at all?
Well, I mean, probably not, but he would be next up as the early down guy, you know?
Yeah, I don't think a team can ethically play Austin Ekeler on early downs at this point.
Like, you're right.
He's still got some juice as a pass catcher. I don't know if I don't think he's peak Austin Ekeler as a pass catcher, but he's still a good pass catching back. He was good in the metrics last year, but like just good though. He wasn't great. I know I've said this a few times, but like we'd be like, oh, Keenan Allen's out, Mike Williams has been out forever, Josh Palmer's out, all these guys are out. Well, it's a 13 target game for Austin Ekeler, and it'd be a 6 target game. And you're like, last year when we did this, you were piling up these 10 plus target games because you were the engine of the offense. Even if it was 2-yard checkdowns, it was better than whatever they had that year. Also, everyone got hurt. Why isn't that happening this year?
And it might have been a Kellen Moore problem. Our guy Kellen just doesn't really seem like he's got the juice.
But I think to Denny's point, like, do we expect a lot of checkdowns from Jaden Daniels? Do we expect a lot of running back targets from Cliff Kingsbury's offense, which loves to throw short, but during his tenure with Arizona was almost every single year below average in just total running back targets? It's, you know, it's more throwing the short stuff, these like, you know, 5-8 slant routes, these mesh routes to the wide receivers. So as much as I think Ekeler still has a good enough amount of juice as a pass catcher, how much are they even going to use that? Whereas at least Brian Robinson, as Danny pointed out, could very much be the Gus Edwards of this team. He's a perfectly fine between the tackles runner.
Did Amy, you draft any of these guys? I'm assuming
I would probably go with Robinson as you know. I mean, I went with him a lot last year, and it was not horrible from a zero RB. Remember, you're just trying to get a bridge guy until maybe one of your stashed running backs breaks through with a full workload. So Robinson strikes me as a fine gap, you know, guy to play in the early season, especially.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like, is this the same front office that drafted Chris Rodriguez? I guess it is the same front office. It's not the same coaching staff. I mean, I think it is the same front office that at least drafted him. So maybe he'll get a chance at some point during the season, but man, I just looking at this team, man, it's going to be bad.
The Commander.
Yeah. This is not a good, well-designed offense. There's talent in it. This is not a well-designed offense, in my opinion.
I mean, Jaden Daniels' deep ball prowess, I think, could be fun for McLaurin, who is a good downfield passer.
John Dotson should be in theory too, right?
Well, he was truly awful last year, but he wasn't so bad the year before.
Pat, I believe different GM as well. I think when the ownership changed, they also brought.
Oh yeah, yeah, of course, yeah, no, yeah. C-Rod, it's over. Never mind. I couldn't remember. I forgot. Adam Peters was just hired this year.
There you go.
We've moved on from the Doug Williams era. We have moved on from the Washington Commanders. They might be moving on from that name. They really should be. To our final zero RB backfield, the Green Bay Packers. Josh Jacobs, the RB10. Rookie Marshawn Lloyd, the RB45. A.J. Dillon, undead zombie A.J. Dillon, the RB72. Josh Jacobs, is he really safe inside the top 12? I can go either way on this. I think I'm leaning towards yes, that he is. Oh, it's a slightly more palatable ADP than he had last year with the Raiders. Not much. You guys both look a little skeptical about the idea of RB1 Josh Jacobs. Who wants to start?
Well, I mean, I wrote about him before the draft being like a locked in guy is going to see a big workload. I think Kyle described him similarly. After the draft, I guess maybe I have some questions about that, but the team is talking up Marshawn Lloyd in ways that don't make me too scared that he's going to cut into Jacob's workload in a big way. I would say that Lloyd is the only other pick for me in this backfield. If you're going zero RB approach, they might try to make AJ Dillon a thing again, but it just has not worked. So I'm putting my trust that, you know, the explosive Lloyd can actually do something in this offense if Jacobs misses time.
AJ Dillon knows the system, though.
He does. I know. He's a system knower, and they do like 2 yards in a cloud of dust. So.
Kyle, are you taking Josh Jacobs as the RB10, or are you letting someone else do that?
That's fine. It does feel like every time you say, like, every year we go, I guess I can envision him being an RB1. Sure, that checks out. Catastrophic failure every single time. You know, that's like the start of the running back dead zone. But I think at least I would say among the classic running back dead zone guys does seem to have a pretty safe role. Marshawn Lloyd was like true career committee back throughout his time in college at multiple schools. They don't have to spend a ton of draft capital on him. And as Denny pointed out, I believe it was their offensive coordinator, Adam Stenovich, who was like, yeah, we see him as a different type of player than AJ Dillon. He's got a level of speed that Dillon doesn't have. We want to get him open in space. Sounds like a good complimentary back. It doesn't freak me out if I like already have some best ball teams with Jacobs on him.
Just a little, the Packers are so obsessed with the committee approach, but I don't understand why they would sign Josh Jacobs and then do anything the opposite of what you just said, Kyle. Or he probably is a meat and potatoes, low-end RB1 that you don't really have to worry about much. He's going in the third round, even on underdog.
It's, yeah, I do think it's not going to care. He's not going to carry your team. You're not even going to notice he's in your lineup a lot of weeks, you know. But yeah,
he probably doesn't kill your team right. Via his own play. He probably right. Churns out 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns or whatever, and your team advances from its original pot if it's a best ball team. But it's really the opportunity cost. Like, is there a receiver in that range that breaks out? Can you go elite tight end there or elite quarterback there that changes the landscape of fantasy? I don't think Jacobs has that in his range of outcomes, but I also do think his touch load on what should be a really good offense feels relatively secure.
Man, there are some bad running back ADPs out here, man. Tyron Williams, RB7, like, just give it up. Give it up. Devin Achane, who weighs less than me, the RB.
I'm in on Achane. The fast guy goes burr.
Weighs less than a podcaster.
And what is he?
Going to be the RB8, according to underdog.
RB8?
Yeah.
No, fast guy go burr.
Weighs less than a podcaster.
Well, I will have zero exposure to Devon.
Don't need to weigh more. Guys, don't need to weigh more than a medium-sized dog if Mike McDaniel's a coach. That's what I've always said, and I'll continue to say it.
we'll continue to say a few more things when we come back right after this. The road to the Indianapolis 500 later this month continues this Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern with the Indy Grand Prix on NBC and Peacock. Find out who takes the checkered flag at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Road Course.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big juicy investment. Now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokers Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a realtor can help answer. Because realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home.
They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what Realtors do, because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
That's a beautiful graphic. We have really beautiful graphics makers around here. If you're watching,
I love, by the way, I love the Olympics commercials.
Yeah, they're very good.
Yeah, like where they have them doing their thing in the 2020 Olympics or whatever it was, and then they zoom out and it's them like in front of the in front of France, in front of Paris. That's cool. I like those commercials.
Denny knows Paris.
I know. I've seen it many times on romantic comedies.
It was the 2020. It was the 2020 games. They took place in 2021, though.
That's right. Okay, thank you.
In Tokyo, Japan, and now 3 years later, we're gonna be gathering in Paris, France. It was gonna sound dripping with irony. I truly cannot wait. I love the Olympics so much. Denny Carter, on the other hand, loves under the radar tight ends. It's the only thing everyone wants to talk about. And why did you want to talk about? Did you have an article on this or something? What was the reason why you wanted to talk about this?
Nah, he's just sick.
I was toying with the idea. Look here. Okay. I'm just trying to find guys that you can take. If you're doing best ball stuff right now, you could take tight end. If you faded the position, or if you only took an elite one and you just waited and waited and waited, and you're looking for someone who is actually going to be out there running routes and seeing targets, which I think is crucial in drafting a tight end. Then I think these three guys could do it for you. Okay. So we'll start with Zach Ertz.
Oof. Man, we've had a good show today. Thank you. We'll be back on Tuesday, Denny, and I know Zach Ertz.
Sorry. I mean, we previewed this last week's last Tuesday's podcast, which was that Reed's is Sinnott. How do you say it, Kyle?
I'd say I've been saying Sinnott, but
okay. So Sinnott, right?
Ben Sinnott,
halfback, tight end. No. It's just
you don't want to hear H-back. You don't want to hear H-back. I totally agree. The word H-back, if you ever hear that, it's kind of like when they call a tight end an offensive weapon. You just move on.
My guy's not going to be.
Have they talked him up as an H-back much? Because at the combine, he looked like a true tight end. He wasn't like that, like 6'2", 245 type of guy. He looks like a real tight end. He literally did play fullback. I think he was a walk-on who played fullback for 2 years. So, like, he has some H-back, a little H-back in his DNA.
Yeah, and listen, we're going to write blurbs about the team wants to get Sinnott involved at the goal line as a running back or whatever.
Hell yeah.
And that's going to excite people. Like that all that's happening, trust me. The one thing Sinnott's not going to do is run. He's not going to run any pass routes. and that's when the one thing that Zach Ertz will only do. He will only be out there running routes from the slot and catching scammy PPR stuff over the middle. And I can live with that. I think that we can all live with that. I know Pat Corain was in on Ertz before the draft. I think he should remain in on Ertz. Stay strong, Corain.
Just gonna literally say stay strong, Pat.
Zach Ertz, 82 targets over 11 games with Cliff Kingsbury's Cardinals in 2021. That broke down to 7.5 targets per game.
Cliff Kingsbury's out of work and not currently coordinating the Commanders, right?
What?
Surely he's on a beach in Vietnam.
Surely no one immediately hired Cliff Kingsbury as an off. I'm just saying.
Commanders. I don't care, guys. I don't care if he's is successful or not. I'm just talking about from purely from a scammy PPR purposes. I think that Ertz fits the bill. All right.
Currently, doesn't have an ADP. It's a tight end 39.
Oh yeah, no, you're gonna get him for free, and nobody. Especially no one in their 20s is going to be drafting Zach. Nope.
I think Ertz is probably of the three players I know you're going to name the worst at this point in their career. Yet I actually do feel better about him than at least one, if not both, of the other two guys. Because like even last year, he got targeted a ton. Did squat with any of those targets, but like we don't care, man. We're playing in PPR leagues. Analytics has ruined this fantasy game too.
All the same to me, brother.
You better believe it. God's words to my ears. They're all PPR points. And Ertz he earned a bunch of targets last year. He earned a bunch of targets with Cliff. As long as Ben Sinnott doesn't push him for routes, which I'm a little more skeptical on because I don't think Ertz is very good, but that's beside the point. We should get the PPR scam for at least the first half of the season.
Right, right. I don't see him as like a permanent solution at tight end in your fantasy league.
Before you go on to the second one, Denny. Oh, sorry. Yeah. You finish.
No.
Say, I had to share the worst intrusive thought I've ever had in my life.
Okay.
Do not like the artist Billy Joel. I think he's one of the absolute worst artists who's ever existed, in fact. But he has the song, It's Still Rock and Roll to Me. And now I have the song stuck in my head to the tune of It's All PPR Points to Me or something of that nature. They're all PPR points to me.
That's a doozy of a take. I'm triggered. I'm reeling. But we're going to move on.
You like Billy Joel? What?
Yes.
We're moving on.
Dear I mean, God. I like Billy Joel, but I don't have to grapple with what his cultural impact was. Sometimes songs go, it's all PPR to me. And I like that.
There you go. All right. Yes. Now that's a hit.
Exactly. I'm sorry. I like popular music, Pat. I don't listen to it.
You know, if you have actual taste, you've never liked a popular song in your life. That's how it works if you were raised in the 90s. We move on to who's your second tight end?
All right. Kate Otten. Look, if you're playing in a point per route league, then you actually have to draft Kate Otten in the second round because my guy's running a lot of second in tight end routes last season behind only Evan Engram. Ran 44% of his routes from the slot. That's pretty good. Now for the darkness. And this is dark.
It's bleak. Let me tell you.
8.2 targets per route run during the regular season. 8.2. That is actually unimaginable. I had to do the math again just to make sure because I was like, no, it can't possibly be 8%. 8%. Okay. So not exactly a target commander. I will say I had to splice it up. I had to find the light a little bit here from week 15 through the divisional round. He had a 15% target per route run. You know, that's not the worst. You know, we can get by on that. That's all I got.
That's all you got?
I was going to be more.
I was waiting for the follow-up sentence.
He's out there running a lot of routes. What else do you want?
I believe in drafts, he is the most expensive of the trio you'll be naming, which is why
Tight end 20.
Yeah, like he... Oh,
goodness.
There's a bit of an, like, we just talked about Ertz being quite literally 39, nearly twice as many tight ends go off the board. That's fine. There's no cost to that. There's a little bit of like, oh, I think there are other tight ends. Like, I like a Juwan Johnson or I like a Noah Fant.
Well, hold on. Kate Otten's like an auto pick over tight end 19, Hunter Henry or 18, the H-back Senate, though. Like, he's an auto
pick. I would take Hunter Henry over him.
Really?
There's no weekly contribution for Kate Otten is the thing. He had one top 10 week all of last season, one top 10 week. He's good for 6 PPR points on the dot, but
Hunter Henry's had one top 10 week since Phillip Rivers retired. I mean,
Hunter Henry popped in for a few touchdowns here or there. That's what he does. He's basically the same player, but he catches more touchdowns, which is kind of random to be fair. But like, I don't think there's any route for him to have like 3 spike weeks. I mean, last year he had one and he was, I believe, the league leader in route rate. Like the moment they're like, you've contributed nothing for 4 consecutive games, your route rate goes to 70%. He stops even giving you a 4-point PPR floor.
All right. We got one more tight end, Denny. Who is it?
Chigakonkwo. He's fun. He's better than
he's actually team. Good. At least
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So he was really good in 26.5% target per route run in 2022. That's really good. That dropped all the way down to 18.5% last year. I don't really know why, but
they're a horrible team. I mean,
I'm very interested in this Tennessee offense because, like we said, they're being dragged into the 21st century. They're actually going to have to pass. They're probably going to pass the ball here. You know, increased pass volume is good for everybody in this offense, including Okonkwo, who is the tight end one and is not going to get, I don't think, anyway, Josh Weil is the tight end too. So I don't think he's going to get pushed at all for routes in this offense. And, you know, if he can get back to the efficiency that we saw in 2022, he might not need a ton of targets. And honestly, he's not going to get a ton of targets since they have Ridley, since they have Hopkins and the third guy, Tyler Boyd.
Tyler Boyd. Yeah. That's a bit of a problem, I feel like, for Chig, is that I think part of his success in 2022, they just had no one to throw to.
Right.
He was a good playmaker, though. Like, he was good after the catch.
He is actually good.
You kind of have to hope that guy comes back because he's not, like Danny said, he's not earning a lot of targets. But if, like, it's a big if, but if he is that efficient, that 2022 efficiency, especially in, as Denny pointed out, a modern offense, yeah, like you could actually get some spike weeks out of him. I think his season long floor is probably lower than Cade Otton, but like, man, Cade Otton, if he ever cracks your lineup, you're like, dang, I cannot believe this happened. That is a loss. Whereas like Chig, you know, like look at your best ball roster. Chig cracks your lineup. It maybe happens less often. You're like, oh, Chig got in there for an 18 pointer. He had two long catches. Yeah. He scored. And like, that's kind of the bet I want to be making. Maybe there are some teams in which you say like, I just need the six point weekly floor. I think more often than not, I'd rather have a guy who can actually flip the matchup, even just slightly, even just a few times. And I think Chig's likely to be that guy. We also saw the Bengals consistently try to find a guy to be a pass catching.
That's what I was
going to
say. You said the modern offense. He's coming into an offense that, if it is like the Bengals, has always produced big plays for the tight end, Kyle.
Yeah, and they wanted to continue to try and find that guy, and they just kept not investing in it, so they never got the results. And they still made a guy, Tanner Hudson, at the end of the year work, like PPR scam Tanner Hudson. I think it's a crowded pass catching room, but I think there's a small role for an explosive tight end in this offense, and that'll get in your best ball lineups a few weeks.
And that'll get us. I was desperately trying to unmute. I had briefly muted and I could not get back to play us out of the show because we are out of material for today. That's good stuff. I mean, we're gonna have a lot more backfield talk as the summer goes on. It's always one of the single most critical topics in fantasy football and where the running back draft value actually is.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys will be posting on it all summer. Denny, I know I'll be having articles coming out on it at some point. We're talking about in our draft guide that we're starting to write right now. So this is always a very important topic, and I'm sure we'll talk about more. Hope you enjoyed it today. You guys have anything people need to read or anything like that? Or are we just kind of in draft guide mode?
The Bible, brother. I released all of my dynasty rankings last week. There's little news and notes on the draft, but for the most part, if you're drafting your dynasty teams, it's just the copy and paste the rankings from there.
Yeah. Cool stuff. I'm working on my GM rankings. It's of course taking longer than I thought. I gotta be honest, having an illness for a week didn't help.
And the fact that it's every week too, not just one week. But
it had been a while, to be honest.
Yeah, he hadn't been sick for 30 days.
It had been a while. This one laid me a little particularly low.
How close are you? How close are you? Have you started the rankings?
No.
Okay, that's good.
So, get one. It's gonna be a huge problem.
Pat still has to Google list of NFL
GMs. I have to Google what an NFL GM does. Yeah, really hoping to get that out soon, though. But it's a lot of writing.
How are you going to handle Elliot Wolf here for New England? Because I see him described as everything under the sun. De facto GM, the person in charge of draft picks, but never actually GM.
The whole list is just about it. This is the list for him because it's all about de facto GMs. So even there's some teams where I even infer, like the Chiefs, I put Veach's name on there, but I talk like it's Reed, man. Yeah, the 49ers too. I'm not pretending John Lynch is the GM. Like, who cares? Like, it's not John Lynch. Everyone knows it's not John Lynch. So if you're a de facto GM, you have come to the right place. If you're a football fan, you've come to the right place. We hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next Tuesday. For Kyle Dvorchik, for Denny Carter, I'm Patrick Darty. Thank you for listening.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big juicy investment. Now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
It's one thing falling in love with a house, picturing yourself moving in and calling it home, and quite another navigating the world of price negotiating, mortgage lenders, and finding the budget that works best for you. An agent who's a realtor can make understanding that world easier. Realtors have the expertise, access to proprietary data, and tools to help you get from imagining living somewhere to actually doing it. That's the kind of help we can provide. Because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.